Chapter 11. Do not know how fond he is of me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am sure he loves you dearly, apostrophe, said Mrs. Quilp. Indeed, indeed he does. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nell, as dearly as I love him. But I have not told you the greatest change of all, and this you must never breathe again to anyone. He has no sleep or rest, but that which he takes by day in his easy chair, for every night and nearly all night long he is away from home. Apostrophe, Nelly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, hush. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the child, laying her finger on her lip and looking round. When he comes home in the morning, which is generally just before day, I let him in. Last night he was very late, and it was quite light. I saw that his face was deadly pale, that his eyes were bloodshot, and that his legs trembled as he walked. When I had gone to bed again, I heard him groan. I got up, and ran back to him, and heard him say, before he knew, that I was there, that he could not bear his life much longer, and if it was not for the child, would wish to die. What shall I do? Oh! What shall I do? Apostrophe, the fountains of her heart were opened. The child, overpowered by the weight of her sorrows and anxieties, by the first confidence she had ever shown, and the sympathy with which her little tale had been received, hid her face in the arms of her helpless friend, and burst into a passion of tears. In a few minutes Mr. Quilp returned, and expressed the utmost surprise, to find her in this condition, which he did very naturally, and with admirable effect, for that kind of acting had been rendered familiar to him by long practice, and he was quite at home in it. She's tired, you see, Mrs. Quilp, apostrophe, said the dwarf, squinting in a hideous manner to imply that his wife was to follow his lead. It's a long way from her home to the wharf, and then she was alarmed to see a couple of young scoundrels fighting, and was timorous on the water besides. All this together has been too much for her. Poor Nell! Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Quilp unintentionally adopted the very best means he could have devised for the recovery of his young visitor, by patting her on the head. Such an application from any other hand might not have produced a remarkable effect, but the child shrank so quickly from his touch, and felt such an instinctive desire to get out of his reach, that she rose directly, and declared herself ready to return. But you'd better wait, and dine with Mrs. Quilp and me. Apostrophe, said the dwarf. I have been away too long, sir, already, apostrophe, returned Nell, drying her eyes. Well, apostrophe, said Mr. Quilp, if you will go, you will, Nelly. Here's the note. It's only to say, that I shall see him tomorrow, or maybe next day, and that I couldn't do that little business for him this morning. Goodbye, Nelly. Here, you sir, take care of her, do you hear? Apostrophe, Kit, who appeared at the summons, deigned to make no reply to so needless an injunction, and after staring at Quilp in a threatening manner, as if he doubted whether he might not have been the cause of Nelly shedding tears, and felt more than half disposed to revenge the fact upon him on the mere suspicion, turned about and followed his young mistress, who had by this time taken her leave of Mrs. Quilp and departed. You're a keen questioner, and you, Mrs. Quilp? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the dwarf, turning upon her, as soon as they were left alone. What more could I do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned his wife mildly. What more could you do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, sneered Quilp, couldn't you have done something less? Couldn't you have done what you had to do without appearing in your favorite part of the crocodile, you minx? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am very sorry for the child, Quilp, apostrophe, said his wife. Surely I've done enough. I've led her on to tell her secret she supposed we were alone, and you were by, God forgive me. Apostrophe, you led her on. You did a great deal truly. Apostrophe, said Quilp. What did I tell you about making me creak the door? It's lucky for you that from what she let fall, I've got the clue I want, for if I hadn't, I'd have visited the failure upon you, I can tell you. Apostrophe, Mrs. Quilp, being fully persuaded of this, made no reply. Her husband added with some exultation, "But you may thank your fortunate stars, the same stars that made you, Mrs. Quilp, you may thank them that I'm upon the old gentleman's track and have got a new light. So let me hear no more about this matter now, or at any other time, and don't get anything too nice for dinner, for I shan't be home to it." Apostrophe, so saying, Mr. Quilp put his hat on and took himself off, and Mrs. Quilp, who was afflicted beyond measure by the recollection of the part she had just acted, shut herself up in her chamber, and smothering her head in the bedclothes bemoaned her fault more bitterly than many less tender-hearted persons would have mourned a much greater offense. For, in the majority of cases, conscience is an elastic and very flexible article, which will bear a deal of stretching and adapt itself to a great variety of circumstances. Some people, by prudent management and leaving it off piece by piece like a flannel waistcoat in warm weather, even contrive, in time, to dispense with it altogether. But there be others who can assume the garment and throw it off at pleasure. And this, being the greatest and most convenient improvement, is the one most in vogue. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.